Hello again. Welcome to the program. We're here with a fourth message in the book of Colossians. We're looking at the last mile of the way. Paul said in Acts 20 that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord. Now, we're looking into the book of Colossians and hopefully letting the book of Colossians look into us. It is a book with encouragement and exhortation for the last mile of the way. We need to be encouraged, but we also need to be warned about what's going on today. However, we can study the book of Colossians, and we can study the whole Bible, but unless we are willing to say, Lord, have thine own way, have thine own way, thou art the potter, I am the clay, unless we are willing to say, hold o'er my being absolute sway, then it's just a bunch of head knowledge. And so, as we continue in this series in the book of Colossians, before we go further, let's sincerely make this our prayer today. Have thine own way, Lord. The church at Colossae was an excellent church, but Paul wrote to them and said in chapter 2 and verse 1, For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. We have here an indication of why Paul wrote. He had an inner conflict, a genuine concern for fellow believers, and even though this was a church of young Christians that were really wanting to do something, Paul had a discernment that few people have. He saw the infiltration of the wolves in sheep's clothing. He saw the influence of the false doctrine that was beginning to seep into this church at Colossae and probably was seeping much faster into the church of Laodicea. And as we mentioned, they're only a few miles apart. They would obviously have an influence on the church at Coloss. And so he saw the problem on the horizon. And we're looking at this in the light of this age in which we're living. We're living in the last days. There's no doubt about that. We're on the last mile of the way. And this book of Colossians is a quick course on how to handle things during the last mile of the way, during an age of apostasy. In verse 3, Paul said, I give thanks. That phrase, give thanks, is in the Bible 35 times. He said, we give thanks. Interesting, he said we here because Timothy was with him. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now, there's only three other letters that he said they were praying all the time for them. One was the book of Ephesians, where he wrote to the Christians at Ephesus, and he says, they cease not to give thanks, making mention of you in my prayers. Now notice he says my prayers. In Colossians he said we. Here it's singular. Why? Because as you look at the book of Ephesians as it opens, he doesn't have someone with him. He's alone. But he's giving thanks for them at Ephesus. And then he wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and in 1st Thessalonians he says we give thanks to God always for you. And 2nd Thessalonians we read we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. There was something to be thankful for, as we later look into those seven churches in the book of Revelation that Jesus himself wrote to. And you come to the book of the Laodiceans, there's nothing to be thankful for. Oh, they're going through the motions and they have a crowd, but Jesus is standing outside knocking at the door. And so Paul says, I'm praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith and your love and the hope that you have, I'm praying always for you. Now, first of all, he says, I'm praying always. That doesn't mean to say 24 hours a day. It means without fail. He said, I am praying for you. Why? Since we heard of your faith. Now, Ephesians 6 and 18, he says, we're praying for you. And then in Ephesians 1 and 15, he says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And so it's interesting. We don't find him giving thanks and praying always when he heard about the faith that they didn't have in Laodicea. But here we see, like in the book of Colossians, Paul said, I'm praying for you. Why? Because of the fact that they were standing for faith. He said, since we heard of your faith. We heard of your faith. That is what is so important. And also the love which ye have for those people that love you. No, for the love that they have to all the saints. And so we're going to look at Paul's prayer. He said, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, cease not to pray for you. What's he pray? That you would be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, in these perilous times that we're living in, we need to be filled with the knowledge of his will. And what does God want us to do? And what does he want us not to do? Psalm 119, 100, the psalmist prayed, said, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. And then in Luke 24, we find that the disciples on the Emmaus Road, it says, Jesus opened their understanding, and that they might understand the scriptures. It's so important that we understand. Look at Jesus when his disciples were walking with him, and they were so ignorant of what he was doing. And again, he said, how is it that ye do not understand? There's no reason for us not to understand. So he prays that they would understand, and then he prays about their walk. He said in verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, that ye might walk. Now, we read in Psalm 86, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Now, there's the foundation. God is not going to teach us his way if we're not going to walk in the truth. What would be the sense of him teaching us so we could go around and brag about how much more we know about the Bible? The purpose is that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And so we're in these perilous times. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He'll tell us what we need to do in these perilous times. Now, a walk is a slow, steady progress in a predetermined direction. Isaiah 30:21 says, this is the way, walk ye in it. What did God's people do back then? They said, we will not walk therein. Well, as a result of that, the progress is a movement toward a destination. What happened to Israel? They went into captivity. They were in bondage for many years. Why? Because they said, we will not walk therein. Now, all these things happen unto them. They are written for our admonition. Will we be admonished? This is the way, walk ye in it. And so, God had Paul write to the Colossians, and he said, I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. Paul's inner conflict was a genuine concern for fellow believers and a discernment of what was going on. For us, the last mile of the way, we want someone to come and say, tell me, should I keep my church services open? Should I ignore the government? What should I do? Get into the Word of God. If we will trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not unto your own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. What we need to do is go to the Lord and not rely on our favorite fundamentalists, whatever that means. So here's the secret. Here's the secret right here. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Again, let's make this our sincere prayer.